podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
Speaking of homes, I have a home and it is, I'm an owner. The bank is an owner. I am owing lots of money.
Yes.
Anyway, so we bought in Lara a couple of years ago, as we were talking about not long ago, last week maybe. And so I'm doing little things around the house.
Nice. It's a lot of upkeep, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And there's, you just always got projects. You always got stuff that you want to do, things that you want to change. The neighbours just put in a pool. I'm sort of now trying to make friends with them.
Nice. Straight over the fence.
Oh, mate, you can hear them splashing around and on their schwitzing. I'm like, far out, come on, chop us out. Anyway, so I was schwitzing yesterday because it wasn't that hot, but it was still pretty hot. And in the middle of the afternoon, I was out the front painting my fence. Now, this has been the longest project probably in Lara history.
Really?
So I reckon it's taken a good 9 months.
Is it a brush or have you got like one of those?
I've got a spray gun.
It's still taking you that long?
Yeah, mate, because before winter last year, I sanded it because I was going from a varnish on a wood fence to like a, it's called sort of pickety sort of wood fence, to paint. I wanted to paint it a colour, right? But you can't just paint straight over the top of it. So then I had to like sand it back, and then I had to undercoat it.
Do you have to get the side bits too?
In between. Oh, spray actually does a pretty good job of getting that. But it's a lot, I'm on a corner block, so it's a lot of fence, right?
Yeah.
And I have to do inside and outside of the fence.
Good on you.
So there's heaps, right?
Because a lot of people would just say, nah, outside.
So, you know, I undercoated the inside of the fence and then, you know, I got busy and a bit of, the weather wasn't great. And then so did undercoated the outside of the fence as well. And then the weather got, it was winter. Mm. And so all of a sudden it was raining a lot and I couldn't, you know, get out there and paint.
Mm.
And then we went through spring, bit wet still, bit windy. Finally got a coat during holidays, got a coat of like beautiful, stunning millennial grey on it.
Oh, well done.
Yes.
Well done.
Bland is the word that comes to mind. Mm. No, it's a nice colour. I like it. It's good. I got a real bargain at Bunnings and a big tub of it. Anyway, so I'm up to the second coat.
Okay.
And so yesterday I was like, perfect, good weather for it. Mm. I'm going to get out there. I worked out how to unblock my spray gun. God, they are just enigmas.
Yeah.
Just conundrums.
Did you spray yourself in the face?
Oh, all the time. But as I'm going through as I started painting it last year, the guy we bought the house off, lovely couple, really like him. We've spoken to him on the show.
Yeah.
The guy, though, he must have been driving past. They've moved out of Lara, but he must have been driving past and he pulled up. He's like, oh, you're painting the fence? I was like, yeah. And he goes, yeah. He offered to lend me his spray gun, which is lovely. But then he goes, yeah, I probably should have spent more money on the fence because they reno'd the house. He goes, I probably should have spent more money on the fences. I gave a young fella a go. He was pretty keen. And so I did it. He was cheap and sort of, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool, whatever. And then, since I've been painting it, you know, a fence is a fence is a fence, right? Mm. And you're just going to drive past it. You're not going to, unless you're spending time real near it, you're not really going to notice anything apart from the fact that it's a fence, right?
Yeah.
Unless there's real structural big issues. But when you're up close to a fence, imagine it's not easy to build a fence.
It sounds easy, but it's not.
No. And this is like, there's elements to this, it's not the most basic of fences. But when I'm up close to it and I say to you, the young fella, was he taking breaks to watch play school?
It's that bad.
It is. Oh, my goodness.
And this has come from a guy that knows nothing about fences.
I know nothing about fences.
Or paint.
But the materials that he's used, clearly terrible. I'm spraying it going, man, I reckon I'm going to have to replace this thing in 2 years. And Anthony, my stepdad's like, oh, no, don't say that. We'll just do bits. We'll replace bits of it.
Hang on, wheel?
Oh, because he likes to come and help.
Of course he does.
Anyway, so I was just oh, my God. So I've spent all this time painting this fence, and now I'm almost certain that the paint that I've put on it is structurally load-bearing now, holding the fence up itself.
Yeah. I would say keep on doing what you're doing.
Mm.
And more it's taking layers. You just more layers.
More layers. Just
more layers. Just keep on going.
But that's my gift to the people of Lara, that I've finally gone from the undercoat of disgusting fence on the corner to slightly less disgusting millennial growth.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
We're going to Tassie for this one, mate. Zoom. Nabina.
Or if you're taking the spirit, your mate, the captain.
Yeah, my mate, the captain, bless him. Anyway, Nabina is where we're going. And it's a town, small town, fishing village on the Tassie Peninsula.
Right? Yeah.
So it's like to the west of Port Arthur. Like it's in that area, right?
Good grapes. Makes a grape drink.
Sure. Nabina. So on Saturday, just gone, police received a number of calls about something that happened there.
If this is more Tassie Tiger gear, like, we don't care. Enough in it.
Some of us care.
Oh, my God. No.
Some of us care.
Mate, it happens, like, once a year at least. Yeah. Oh, I've seen the Tassie Tiger gear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure, it's there. Okay, we believe you. It's there. Who cares? Move on.
I care. Anyway, it's not that. But 9:30 in the morning, Saturday just gone, there are a number of calls from members of the public about a vehicle that was driving on White's Beach in Nabina. Okay. Now, you can drive on certain beaches in Tassie.
Sure.
Right? And this is one of them. Now, police said that witnesses reported seeing this white Mitsubishi Triton being driven on the beach. And now they're asking for more witnesses to come forward.
Oh,
okay.
Because
there was a dog in the driver's seat and a man in the passenger seat.
Incredible. I mean, you got to learn somewhere. Right. And the beach seems like a great place to start. Right. It's either that or the Woolies car park.
Right,
you know?
I know. Okay. Now, officers went to the guy's home. They attended and located the vehicle. And they're like, this is the property. They saw the man and then the dog came around the corner and they're like, okay. You're done. We've had many reports, right? Now, police have charged a 50-year-old man from White Beach.
Yeah.
What else is there to do down there except take your dog for a drive, right? Apparently, though, he did exceed the permitted blood alcohol limit of 0.05 and disqualified him from driving for 2 years. Now, I don't know how that works out because they didn't catch him in the act, so I need all more information on this, right? He's going to front court in May, but the police are keen to hear from further witnesses. They want vision, they want dash cam, and why dash cam vision as well. Why the police are asking for it, I would also like to see it.
We want to see it.
And the other thing is, the Tasman Council's dog management policy says dogs must be on a lead at all times.
Oh, wow.
So they're fighting him on that too.
Get him. Get him with every throw. Like, throw the book at him.
While your dog was driving, we didn't see a lead.
Yeah.
He's on the beach. He's got to be on a lead at all times.
All times. Even in the car.
Even
if he's driving a car and it makes it dangerous, he still has to have the lead on.
I can't believe they're going to fight him for that.
Incredible.
Where's his lead?
It's their radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
Yesterday, I had a development on a story that I brought to the table last week. Do you remember me telling you that the weekend before, I think it was the weekend before we came back to work. Anyway, on the Sunday, we were going to my dad's. He lives in Malvern, up in Melbourne, eastern suburbs. And I had the girls in the car, we're driving along, and I had heard on the radio that the Westgate Tunnel is free on the weekends.
Oh, yes.
In January.
And you decided to go through it even though you didn't know where it ended up.
Well, I assumed it would come out where the Westgate Bridge comes out.
Mm.
Does not.
No.
Definitely does not.
Comes out near, like, Docklands area or
something. Yeah, it bends off the other way.
Mm.
Anyway, so it was a bit of an experience, a bit of fun with the girls. Popped out the other side. I was like, cool, all right, I'll just get off where I can. Oh, don't get off there. There's no city access, trucks only sort of thing. Okay, I won't get off there. All right, well, that one says Wurundjeri Way. Yep, cool. I think I know where that is.
That sounds familiar.
I can find my way back from there. No, oh, okay. Oh, actually, it didn't take me to Wurundjeri Way. I ended up on like Footscray Road or something.
Yeah.
Right? And then Waze was like, which is the map thing that I use, was like, oh, just get back on and we're going to take you back through like CityLink to get to where you're going. And so I was like, oh, is that my only option? And because I'm thinking like from Footscray Road, I'm trying to get to the eastern suburbs.
Yeah.
It might actually be a real punish. So in the end, I ended up going through like a bunch of tolls.
Mm.
So the tunnel was free.
Yeah.
But I ended up having to buy like a day pass. I went to my dad's, and usually we'll take sort of Dandenong Road, King's Way onto that sort of
road.
Oh,
you
go
the freeway. Okay. Like, sorry, the free as in cash way.
Well, yeah. Because that's, I mean, you know, who's paying tolls? I've got just a real moral problem with paying tolls when I've paid taxes to build the road.
Exactly.
Also.
It's...
Anyway, so I thought, yep, okay, great, fine. I'm already going to have to buy a day pass. I'm just going to do both ways and at least take advantage of the money that I'm going to spend. You then have 5 days, 5 days to buy a pass.
Okay.
Right?
You've used it.
Yep, so that was the Sunday. I remembered the Monday and then forgot, and then I remembered the Tuesday, then forgot, then asked Indy, my six-year-old, to remind me. So she reminded me on the Wednesday and then I forgot again. But then Thursday morning, I remembered and I bought a day pass for the previous Sunday, which is within the 5 days.
Okay.
And then I said to Indy, hey, guess what Daddy did today? And she said, what? And I said, pay for the tunnel. She said,
well done.
Good job.
How much was it? Do you remember?
$23.
Damn. Really?
For a day, yeah. Anyway. And that's just for sitting.
That's wild.
Anyway, so a couple of days ago, I got an email from Transurban Linked, and that said, you have still $12 and something outstanding. And I'm like, but why?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I bought the right day pass.
Yeah.
The only thing I could think of that would be wrong is that I bought, because you can buy two different versions of the day pass, whatever, CityLink only, or one that includes Baleen Road or something like that. Anyway, so I'm like, all right, I got to call these guys because I can't, like, A, I don't trust an email. I'm not going to click any links.
Nah, there's no email trusting anymore. It's gone.
So I called Linked and I sat on hold for a lady to come on and go have a look. And she goes, but did you buy a pass? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, well, you should have an email. I'm like, I don't have an email. I couldn't find a confirmation email that I bought the pass. And I was like, started doubting myself. I was like, did I not put it through properly? And then I was like,
It'd be
on
your statement though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and that's what I said to her. I was like, I'm going to start going back through my statement, and I was struggling to find it. And she's like, okay, I'll see if I can look it up. Do you have the, you know, this rego and your phone number and all this? And I brought it up, and then she's like, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I can't find it in my statements, and I can't find it in my, and I'm like, I'm thinking maybe I'm losing it.
Yeah.
Linked to a gaslighting. She's like, oh, no, it is here.
Oh.
No, I can see it here. And I was like, so have I, like, done the wrong thing? Like, why does it say? She's like, yeah, it says here that you've got $28 still owing. And I'm like, the email said $12.
Oh.
And she goes, but you did buy the day pass. Yeah, and it was within the time. I was like, yeah. And she goes, I'm not really sure why that is. I'm going to put you on hold and I'll get back to you.
Oh.
Puts me on hold for another 5 or 6 minutes, comes back, and she's like, yeah, no, I'm still not really sure. Oh, actually, no, I know what's happened. So you've done the travel on say the 11th.
Yeah.
They've charged you on the 13th, and then you've bought the pass on the 15th, and so they've not registered that you've bought the pass. They've already charged all this, and I'm like, that sounds like a you problem.
Exactly.
She's like, yeah, when we've upgraded our systems,
my problem.
Shut up.
Not my problem.
You're charging me to drive on your roads.
Yes.
They're not even your roads.
No.
Oh my god.
And also, how many people have just thought, oh, yeah, I must have forgot that or whatever, and then gone and paid it? That is printing money.
I know. How about you pay me for the inconvenience of the last 5 years of driving to Melbourne so you can build this stupid tunnel that goes to nowhere.
And no one's using it.
And costs $30 a drive.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggie say thanks.
Now, I don't have kids, so I need to ask you this question.
Sure.
This happened over New Year's, but then I noticed it again on the long weekend. So New Year's Eve, I decided, hey, we're going to have a little party at my house.
Sure.
And I wanted to make little hors d'oeuvres. Mm. And I had about 7 rounds of little hors d'oeuvres. And prawns was one of them and oysters was another.
Oh, right? Lovely. Yeah.
So I went down to Michelle Seafood, not a paid presentation, which it was, down at the Queenscliff there, right, at the harbour. And rocked up there early on New Year's Eve. And there was a line. There was already a line of about, I'm going to say, 30 people maybe or more. Yeah. And everyone just getting their seafood. So the line, I mean, I was probably in the line for about 45 minutes or so, and you know, that's just what happens when you want delicious seafood. You're like, I'm gonna try my luck. But the problem was is that it's Have you been down there before?
No.
Okay. So
I don't know to specifically where they are, but I've been to Queenscliff and I've been to the harbour.
Yeah, the harbour there, right? Yeah. So you have to kind of walk down and the path is quite little and it's on the water, yeah?
Yeah,
so
you I know what you're talking about.
Basically fit one or two people there max going past at a time. Now we're waiting there and as we're waiting, there was this family in front and it was mum, dad and two kids. And the kids were like, you know, running around and everything. And I was like, this is stressful for me. Good on you parents because they're just like, oh, what's that over there? It's like, you get a fall in. You get a fall in. Like I was scared that I was going to fall in.
Yeah, because you're right on the water. Yeah.
Anyway, but that didn't bother me. That didn't bother me at all. The thing that bothered me is that they get up to the front of the line. And everyone knows what they're getting. Everyone around us has our bags ready to go.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, we're looking at the menu. We're like, this is sold out. Okay, we're going to get this and this and this. And I was chatting to the chick behind me and she's like, oh, I'm ready. I know exactly. I'm like, me too. 1 kilo prawns, 12 oysters. Done, right? We get up to the front and the mum's like, oh, I don't know, honey. What do you feel
You've
like?
Been in line for 45 minutes.
Mate.
You've had a bit of time to think about it.
Mate, not only that. You don't need the kids there.
Yeah.
Okay?
Why doesn't one parent take... What would I do? One parent stand in line
and the other one...
Take the two kids to the beach or something. Yeah. Not far.
Coffee, ice cream, anything. Anything. So there's four of you standing there taking up space. Okay. And then it's like, I don't know, little Harry, whatever your name
little
is.
Little Harry.
do you want a crab? What are you thinking? Do you want a little fishy? I was like, oh, I was fuming. Yeah. I was like, do you not understand that all of us here are trying to get fish and seafood and we know what we want. So maybe you ask your child beforehand, how many oysters do you think you'll eat today, honey? And then when you get to the front of the line, you have it sorted.
Yeah.
Okay? Is it a parent thing? Am I the a-hole?
No. No, they're definitely the a-holes.
Okay, there. Good to know. Because I was just like, if this is what parenting does to your brain, sign me out.
You'll be pushing someone into that water.
Tom and Loggy, that was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.